यायः कथा भगवतः कथनीयोरुकर्मणः गुणकर्माश्रया पुंभि संसेव्यस्ता बुभुक्षुभिः याया कथा भगवतः कथनीयोरुकर्मणः गुणकर्माश्रयः पुंभिः संसेव्यस्ता बुभुक्षुभिः याया कथा भगवतः कथनीयोरुकर्मणः गुणकर्माश्रयः पुंभिः संसेव्यास्ता बुभुक्षुभिः Yaha, whatever. Yaha, and whatsoever. Kathaha, topics. Bhagavataha, about the personality of Godhead. Kathaniya, were to be spoken by me. Uruk karmanaha, of him who acts wonderfully. Guna, transcendental qualities. Karma, uncommon deeds. Ashtayaha, involving Pumbihi by persons, Samsevyaha ought to be heard, Taha all of them, Bubhushuvihi by those who want their own welfare. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Those who are desirous of achieving complete perfection in life must submissively hear all topics that are connected with the transcendental activities and qualities of the personality of Godhead, who acts wonderfully. Purport. The systematic hearing of the transcendental activities, qualities and names of Lord Sri Krishna pushes one towards eternal life. Systematic hearing means knowing Him gradually in truth and fact. And this knowing Him in truth and fact means attaining eternal life, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Such transcendental glorified activities of Lord Sri Krishna are the prescribed remedy for counteracting the process of birth, old age, disease and death, which are considered to be material awards for the conditioned living being. The culmination of such a perfectional stage of life is the goal of human life and the attainment of transcendental bliss. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manohishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutali Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruho Shri Utapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagarjatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam परिजना सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्री राधा कृष्ण पादान सहगण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितंश्च। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिंधवेव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण। Those who are desirous of achieving complete perfection in life must submissively hear all topics that are connected with the transcendental activities and qualities of the personality of Godhead who acts wonderfully. So the chapter is entitled Parikshit's Being Cursed by a Brahmin Boy. These last two chapters of the first canto, the 18th and the 19th, will describe the death of Parikshit. And after taking a pause from the description of the life of Maharaj Parikshit, Suta Goswami and Shaunakadi Rishi are taking time out to glorify the process of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And reminding us of the essence that nobody can be liberated or delivered without having this basic understanding that the spirit souls are not meant to be enjoyers but servants. And therefore, even in the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Krishna begins his spiritual instruction by explaining the difference between the souls and himself. Natvevaham jatunasam natvam neme janadipaha nachayivana bhavishyamaha sarve vayamatah param. So, which is basically that the souls are eternal. Krishna is saying, I am eternal. There has never been a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor any of these kings. And never will there be a time when we will not exist. And Obviously, it is meant for the spirit soul because the body did not exist before. It came into existence. So, if Krishna is mentioning that there was not a time when you did not exist or I did not exist, definitely Lord Shri Krishna is referring to the soul. So, he is establishing the difference that eternally the souls will be separate, and the fact that Krishna is giving the knowledge to Arjun, the fact that Arjun has surrendered to Krishna for becoming rid of his lamentation and ignorance, indicates that the spirit soul cannot become free from lamentation and the sufferings of life on his own. He needs to take shelter of Krishna. And therefore Krishna is saying that I am the Lord, I am the Paramatma, you are Anu Atma. And that's why that knowledge was given. Because unless you do not understand the difference between the soul and the super soul, as some people mistakenly equate the soul to the super soul, by saying that seeing the difference is an illusion, there is only one Atma, that is Brahma, and liberated state means to stop seeing the difference between the souls and to identify everyone as myself, as the Lord. And that is a very mistaken identity, and unless a person does not understand that there is a difference, there is no question of surrender. Like if someone is knowledgeable, you would like to go and learn from him. Because he has something which you don't. So if the souls are all equal, there is no question of knowledge. There is no question of going to someone for getting the solutions for your problems. And the fact that Arjuna surrendered to Krishna, saying that, please, there is no power on earth, there is nobody in earth or in heaven, in the 14 worlds who can dispel my illusion. Give me knowledge. And therefore, Maya Mugdha Jivera Swataha Nahi Krishna Gyan Jivera Kripa Koile Krishna Veda Purana. That the souls are born into ignorance. Maya Mugdha Jivera Swataha Nahi Krishna Gyan. By their own endeavors, it is not possible for the souls to understand himself. That means self-realization is not possible. And he cannot understand God also. Nahi Swataha Krishna Gyan and Jivera Kripa Koile. And having compassion on the souls, Lord gave the Vedas, Veda and Purana, Srimad Bhagavatam. So naturally, having understood that we are meant to serve the Lord, we are servants of the Lord, we are devotees of the Lord, we have forgotten that. And when we engage in service of the Lord, in hearing about him and glorifying him, there is no question of liberation, because that is the ultimate goal, is to give up our independent natures, trying to be gods and try to become devotees. That is the whole arrangement. And unless we do not know this, unless we are not in knowledge, there is no question of liberation. You know, because all bondage is because of ignorance. So therefore, here, Srimad Bhagavatam is full of glories. And we see that more than the glories of the Lord, there are glories of the devotees of the Lord. And the active ingredient obviously being the Lord himself. But still, just as when you take medicine, say you're taking a tablet, you take it along with a vehicle. You can't just gulp down a tablet. It's difficult. So you drink water along with it and ingest the tablet. So also, although the ingredient, the active principle which will bring about the purification is Krishna Katha, Krishna. However, and you know, we have lots and lots of Katha on the devotees of the Lord, which makes it easier to understand or ingest the active principle of Krishna consciousness. Just gulping down the medicine is difficult. So you take it along with a vehicle. And therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam is full of descriptions of the devotees of the Lord. Even now, Narsingha Leela is going to be discussed. Narsingha Chaturdashi, if you see and read about it, you'll find that the Prahlad Katha is more than Narsingha Katha. All about how Prahlad Maharaj was in school and he was being indoctrinated with the atheistic philosophies and all those things, and finally, and then his father oppressed him and tormented him and tortured him, and then Narsingadev appeared, killed him, and that is the end of it. Very small. Just a few verses describing about Lord Narsingadev, and that is the end of it. So, more of Katha of the devotees and a little bit of Krishna, which is enough, more than sufficient to deliver us. So, here is the pastimes of Parikshit Maharaj being discussed. The king who was so glorious, even more glorious than his grandfathers Yudhishthir and Arjun, for his contribution of subduing the age of Kali Yuga, the dark age that we are living in today, and also for bringing about the method of deliverance from the effects of this dark age. Even though it is explained that Maharaj Parikshit had confronted Kali Yuga, but it was not that Kali Yuga was not present during the period of Yudhishthir, because Kali appeared immediately after Sri Krishna performed his final pastimes. But there is no mention that Yudhishthir made an attempt. Also, one of the reasons is that Kali, which can be thought of as a disease or an infection, like COVID for that matter, was asymptomatic. It was not being perceived, even though he was present in the kingdom. And therefore, Yudhishthir Maharaj did not feel the need. And also, there was a great task at hand and a great mission to be fulfilled. And therefore, that great work was entrusted to Maharaj Parikshit. And that confrontation with these three personalities, dharma, or religion personified, if we are allowed to use that word, but dharma is the right word, who appeared in the form of a bull, Mother Earth appearing in the form of a cow, and this dark age of Kali appearing in the form of this man pretending to be a king, who are all divine personalities, is itself a proof that Maharaj Parikshit is himself a divine personality, capable of confronting them, all of them, and And as we have read that when he saw this man torturing the bull and the cow, the three legs of the bull were broken and he was standing on one leg, trembling out of fear and passing stool and urine. And he immediately, before taking action, he does his initial inquiries. Definitely a king or any representative of justice cannot be rash in making decisions. He has to do his thorough investigation. Who is the culprit? What is the motivation before the crime was conducted and all that? In order to develop faith in his subjects that this king is not rash in making decisions. Somebody just comes and says something and you draw your conclusions. It's not right. So Parikshit Maharaj, he takes a very balanced view, and before he, even though he knew that this man was torturing the bull and the cow, but he took his time to approach the bull and the cow and inquired that who or what is the cause of your suffering. And it was so easy for the bull and the cow to just say that, yes, here is this man who has tortured us and has made us suffer, but they just didn't speak about it. Who knows what is the cause or who is the cause of my suffering? Is it this man? Or maybe it is just the time, because you know, I started losing my legs from Satyuga. At the end of Satyuga, I lost my one leg. The four legs of Dharma represents truth, austerity, and compassion, and cleanliness. So from the very first yuga, I've been losing my legs. And now is the time, and he has appeared. So is it he who is responsible, or is it time? But if he's standing in front of me, ready to torture me, but how could he do that if I had not had a previous karma? So maybe it is my own karma. And if God would not have arranged all this, then nothing would have happened. He is the cause of all causes. So is God the responsible for my suffering? Or the way I am perceiving this incident is the cause of my suffering? What is it? And Parikshit Maharaj could immediately conclude that even though it is so easy for these two to just point their fingers at this man standing in front of them and say that he is the culprit, but they are not doing so, he could understand that these people are not ordinary people, because ordinary people just immediately, you know, blame others or situations or anything and everything but themselves for their problems. So he could understand that these two are great personalities. Definitely. It's not easy to forgive and to see the cause as beyond the immediate cause. As Prabhupada, as Radhana Swami Maharaj was saying in his lecture, that Prabhupada would often say that do not become angry on the agent of your karma. People are just agents or mediums through which we are getting the reactions of our own actions. As in the 11th canto, it is explained that Nayam janume sukha dukkha hetur na devatatma graha karma kalaha manah param karanam amananti samsara chakram parivartayetyah. Nayam janome sukha dukkha hetur. It is not these people who are causing my suffering. Not devatatma, neither the gods, neither my own body, neither the planets, karma kala, or maybe even my own karma is not responsible, and neither time. Then who's responsible? And he's saying, manah param karanam amananti. It is my own mind. Samsara chakram parivartayedhyah, which is causing the repetition of samsara. So Parikshit Maharaj, he could understand, and great personality, and even though they did not point out, but he knew what was the fault of Kali, and he immediately then was about to kill him when Kali immediately fell at his feet, touched his feet, and surreptitiously polluted him by his touch and infected him, and begged for a place where he could stay. And Parikshit Maharaj forgave Kali and said that because you have surrendered, you need not fear for your life. However, you cannot live here. You will have to go out. Then Kali says that there is no place I can go because the entire Jambudvip, all the 9 Varshas are controlled by you. And wherever you are, I cannot live. So you have to appoint some place. So then Parikshit Maharaj said, you can live in 4 places, wherever there is meat eating, wherever there is gambling, wherever there is intoxication and illicit sex. You can live there. And you can live in gold. Another place was awarded to him, the 5th place. Now, Acharyas explained that obviously because Kali always resided in these places. Even the Vedas explain that inauspiciousness always reside in places where these 4 malpractices are performed. So obviously Parikshit Maharaj, had to award something beyond that. He was already living there, and those things were not happening at that time because of Parikshit's presence. And there was no place that, there was no room for Kali to do anything. So then gold was awarded. And also we read stories, besides this, we also hear of stories of how Kali or inauspiciousness came to reside in these 4 places. Like there is one episode in the Devi Bhagavat about the description of a royal king in the solar dynasty, King Shariyati, and his very beautiful daughter Sukanya, who went along with her friends to a forest. And while they were playing there, they heard a voice from under the ground saying that you are disturbing me, I am performing austerities. And he was Chavan Rishi, who was had made his residence under the ground. And so the beautiful maiden girl Sukanya looked inside, and she could find 2 holes, and she saw 2 glowing objects, which she did not realize, but they were eyes of Sukanya, who was looking up from below. So she, very innocently, she just took a blade of grass and just pricked that glowing objects, and as a result of that, Chavan Rishi was blinded. But he was a self-controlled sage. He was not angry. He did not curse the girl also. But as a result of that great offense to this great sage, a great calamities started coming upon the citizens. Everybody was suffering heat and cold and rains and droughts and famines and disease. And the king realized that, and he came to know about what had happened, and he, along with his ministers, discussed and decided that they should go and propitiate this, beg for forgiveness. And they go to this Chavan Rishi, and they say, what can we do to be forgiven? Chavan Rishi said, I am an old man, and all I do is perform austerities. And now in this condition, I can't do anything. Even though your daughter has done this to me, I have not cursed her. So I feel the appropriate thing for you to do is to hand over your daughter to me so that she can help me in performing my austerities. The king was aghast and he thought, how can I do that? My daughter is as good as a beauty queen. She's as good as a goddess. And here is a tapasvi, old man, a blind man, living in the forest. How can I, for my or the welfare of this kingdom, jeopardize the life of my daughter? That wouldn't be right. This cannot be done while contemplating that. But still he called his advisors and took counsel. And in the midst of that, the daughter comes very happily and smilingly and says, Father, it was I who started this and I would like to end it. I volunteer very happily to become the wife of this rishi. And there is no doubt about it. King was doubtful. You are young and you have desires and he's old. And what if being tempted, you end up doing something which will be irreligious? That would not be right. You never know if this man will be able to satisfy your desires. So she says, no, just as there have been great ladies who have been chaste and faithful to their husbands, like Arundhati, the wife of Vashishtha, or Anasuya, the wife of Atri, I also will serve my husband, and without a doubt, I also will emerge glorious as one of the most chaste ladies in history. King was very pleased, and happily he went and handed over his daughter's hand in marriage to this rishi, and she was very faithful and diligent in her service, waking up before her husband, sleeping after her husband, bathing him, changing his clothes, washing his clothes, feeding him, preparing all the paraphernalia for his worship and austerities. Enormous sacrifices, enormous. Went on for years, and somehow by the blessings of the Lord, one day while she was bathing, the gods Ashwini Kumaras, they appear there and they look and are smitten by the beauty of this girl who, though being earthly, had a heavenly aura. She said, we don't find this beauty even in heavens. Who are you? But we know who you are. You have a blind husband, an old husband. Why don't you marry us? We are twin brothers. We'll make you happy. We'll give you the life of a princess. She was aghast and she said, you are gods. You know what is dharma. How can you speak like that? I am a lawfully wedded wife. How can I give up the service of my husband? Go wherever you want, but don't speak like that to me. So the Ashwini Kumaras were very pleased and they said, well, we're happy that you're so faithful to your husband. We would like to do something for you. We are doctors amongst the gods. And if you wish, we can bring your husband his youth. We will make him just like us. Make him look just like us. So much so that you may not be able to tell the difference between him and us. But the condition is that when we treat him in that way, you will have to choose between us as your husband. And that will be the test of your chastity. She said, this is impossible. I cannot. But she said, let me go and ask my husband. She goes, consults Chavan Rishi. She says, immediately go and accept the offer. And Ashwini Kumaras come, take Chavan Rishi, and by their mystical powers, they enter into the lake. And when they are out, they find not two, but now three personalities who are identical. And then they ask Sukanya that, choose your husband. And she looked and she could find absolutely no difference between the three of them. And at that time she prayed to the Lord, please bless me. Let not my chastity go in vain. And by the blessing of the Lord, she could identify her husband's mannerisms. you know, like you may have twins, but then the twins, their mannerisms are different. Many times mothers, they recognize their children by their mannerisms. Even though they are so identical, it is very difficult to tell them apart. So she could identify the mannerisms of her husband due to her chaste services. And she emerged victorious. Ashwini Kumars were so pleased. And they said, okay, we will leave. And at that time, Chavan Rishi said, but I am not happy. You have done so much for me, and I will always be indebted throughout my life for the favors you have done for me. And unless you do not give me an opportunity to do something for you, I cannot be peaceful. Please allow me. So Chavan Rishi says, due to some differences of opinion or whatever reason, Indra has forbidden us from drinking the remnants of the liquor from the sacrifice. If you could just conduct a sacrifice and offer us that liquor, we will be very obliged. Chavan Rishi says, definitely it will be done. And even if Indra comes to fight with me, I will make sure that you get what you want. A grand yajna was performed and the remnants of that prasad liquor was then offered to the Ashwini Kumaras. And just when they were about to drink, Indra appears there and he says, how is it that you have offered them that liquor when I have banned them from it? Chavan Rishi said, why should I listen to you? They are also the gods, even though they are doctors, but they are equal in their status. They deserve the remnants, the prasad, the offerings. Why should I listen to you? Just see what you have done to the wife of Gautam. Just see how you treacherously killed Vritrasur. Please drink. And Indra became offended and he took his Vajradanda and threw it on Chavan's head. But by the time he was about to throw it, Chavan Rishi, by chanting the mantras, he froze Indra and created a demon known as Madha to kill Indra. That time all the gods appeared and they begged for forgiveness. Brihaspati came, the spiritual master of the gods, and suggested that immediately go and fall at his feet. And Indra surrenders. Chavan Rishi was pleased and he calls back this demon and dissects him into four pieces and casts them into the four places where these meat eating and illicit sex and gambling intoxication are carried out. So you see that it is not a new phenomena that these are inauspicious activities. In fact, the Srimad Bhagavatam says in that verse, Loke Vyavaya Mishamadhya Seva Nityahi Jantur Nahitatra Chodana Vyavastitisteshu Vivah Yajna Suragraher Teshu Nivrittarishta. Loke Vyavaya Mishamadhya Seva. Every conditioned soul has this natural tendency to become addicted to these four sinful habits. Everybody is inclined. It's natural. So, therefore, how to get people out of it? So, there are different sects of people. Like some people say, indulge so much that you get frustrated and then you come to the temple and peacefully sit and meditate. Some people say sambhog, say samadhi and things like that. You know, there are philosophies. That's the way you become free from desires. Indulge. You like to eat sweets? Eat so much sweets that you're frustrated. Now you don't want to look at sweets. And there is another philosophy which says that just give up. Just surrender. Just take sannyas. That's impossible. That's very difficult. How many people can do that? So the Srimad Bhagavatam, the followers of Vedavyas, they prescribe this method. Achodana, which means that the scriptures giving us prescribed rules. Vyavastitis tasya vivaha yajna. Okay, you want to have sex? It's not forbidden. Get married. Okay, you want to drink? Never mind. After the yajna or after the sacrifice, the remnants of that liquor can be drunk. Want to eat meat? Well, that's also provided for. You can eat the remnants of that sacrifice, the animal which has been sacrificed for the gods. You know, like people sometimes are surprised that are these prescribed in the Vedas? You can eat meat. I thought the Vedas and God spoke about non-violence. How can? Definitely, that is Sanatana Dharma. We are not like the Buddhists who say Ahimsa Aparmo Dharma. No, it's not a Paramo Dharma. The Vedas accommodate everybody. And therefore, Vyavastitis Teshu Vivah Yajna Suragraher Ashu Nivrittirishta. The ultimate goal of the Vedas is to bring everybody to the point of complete detachment, to give up these things. But the method that has been prescribed is regulation. Not to go to that extreme of overindulgence or cutting it out completely, which is not possible and not practical. So therefore, in order to first of all bring everybody into the fold of the faith of the Shastras, and also to follow a process which is practical, by regulation, one can overcome these base qualities or these tendencies. The middle path of regulation. It is not a promotion. Many times when people say, how can the Vedas say that you can eat meat? Well, we have to understand, the Vedas don't want us to eat meat. Nivrittirishtha, the goal of the Vedas is to inspire us to give up all these things. However, what to do? People have this natural tendency. So the Vedas say, alright, you follow this process by which you will come to that stage of liberation. It is not a promotion. The Vedas are not saying, you know, just eat meat. No. In fact, there are so many such episodes. Like you see in Ramayana, Dasharatha Maharaj is going to hunt. And what does he end up with? He shoots the son of Rishis. He ends up shooting Rishiputra. He thought it was, he had a Shabdabedi Bana. He could shoot with blindfold. And he thought it was an elephant. He shoots and he ends up killing a boy. So the results of all these kind of killing is that you end up with some inauspicious results, and the Vedas don't want it. And therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam is explaining that how Parikshit Maharaj, understanding that Kali always resides in these four places, so let me offer him another place, and that is gold. And he offers him that place. So, therefore, a very important lesson here is that we should be very wary of this, these four evils, because those are the places where Kali resides. And Prabhupada was very clear and clearly spelled out these four things. And many times when Prabhupada was in the West, you know, people were surprised that how Prabhupada could actually make the hippies give up these tendencies, which was so common. And that is by the power of Krishna consciousness. Yes, because unless you don't have a higher taste, you can't give up these things. Even Mahadev, for that matter, Lord Shiva, he could not control. When he saw Mohini Murthy, then what to speak of ordinary living beings like us? So unless there is a higher principle, there is a higher taste, there is association, there is Harinam, there is Kirtan, and there is service to keep yourself engaged. An empty mind is a devil's workshop. It is impossible, virtually impossible to give up these tendencies. Become an addict. Like how people become alcoholics. And alcoholics can never admit that they are alcoholics. Their false ego just does not permit them to say that, no, I am suffering, I need help. You can't even begin that process. It's very difficult and in fact impossible to give it up. So therefore we need help of a very strong process. And that process is the, as it is recommended here, the process which Parikshit Maharaj took up. Process of Shravanam and Kirtanam. And therefore in the Srimad Bhagavad Gita also it is said, Dhyane natmani pashyanti kechid atmanam atmanaha anyecha dhyana yogena karma yogena chapare anyatvevam ajanantaha shrutvanebhyo upasate tepi chatyatranteva mrityum shruti parayanaha. Some people, they take up the path of dhyan, meditation. Dhyane atmani pashyanti kechid atmanam atmanaha anyeche sankhya yogena. Some people take up to analytical study of the shastras, and some people jnana yogena. But there are other class of people, anyatvevam ajanantaha, who do not know any of these processes, but simply having heard about the glories of Sri Krishna, shrutvanebhya para upasate, they simply surrender to the Guru and listen about the glories of Sri Krishna. And what is the result of that? Tepi chati tarantyeva, they also taranti, they also cross over this ocean of birth and death. Mrityum shruti parai, they become liberated very easily. The process is very simple. You just have to come and hear about Sri Krishna. And as it is explained here, that Parikshit Maharaj attained the state of complete fearlessness. He became fearless at the time of death. And why? Because of his absorption in Krishna Katha. So absorbed, he didn't realize. In fact, it is said that the Takshak, the snake bird, which had, it had been destined to come and bite him and kill him, had come there. And even though he was not destined to bite everybody else, but everybody in the assembly was afraid of Takshak, on seeing Takshak. But Parikshit Maharaj, whom he had come to bite, was completely fearless. You know, like somebody sent a WhatsApp photo of a doctor giving injection to the small child, and the mother is holding the child, and the mother can't bear to see that, and mother is closing her eyes and the child is smiling. That is the glory of absorption. Like in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the story of the arrow maker, Avadhut Brahman, speaking that what he learned from the arrow maker, making the arrow in his workshop, and the king happened to pass by along with his retinue, his cavalry, his orchestra, the elephants, the horses and all the other paraphernalia right out of his house, and he did not realize because he was so absorbed in sharpening his arrow. Not realize. Like I've said it before, like once one man, his house was ransacked. He lost everything. Everything was stolen. So he goes to the police station to lodge an FIR. So he was making a long list of what all was stolen. His jewelry, his watch and his iPad and his computer and many things. So the police were surprised. Everything is gone. What is left? Is there anything left in your house? So he said, yes, there is only one television which is left. He was surprised because television was a very expensive thing, object. Generally, thieves take that also. So they were surprised that how come everything was stolen and only your television was left. So he said, because when the burglary took place, I was watching television. So, that is absorption. But obviously that will not award us liberation. But if you are absorbed in Krishna consciousness, then that will be the... But even material absorption can be so powerful, then what to speak of being absorbed in Krishna consciousness? And that is the glory of Parikshit Maharaj, that he became completely absorbed in the final moments of his life, that nothing else, there was nothing else in sight. Only thoughts of Krishna. He was completely unaware of anything else. Because you know, what people speak and all can affect you. Yeah. We can speak high philosophy, you know, natveva aham jatunasam, nainam chindanti shastrani, nainam dahati pavakah. But we realized recently, we had medical tests, brahmacharis and all. The moment the doctor takes out the needle, and you forget, nainam chindanti shastrani, the soul cannot be, you know, cut by a weapon. Last, we went for a test, and they took us into a cabin which was so cold. I said, why have you kept this air conditioning so cold? We don't have hair also, and we have to take out our kurtas also. So cold. It's like a freezer. It's like a cold storage. Thoda AC ko kam karo. Nahi, wo machine ke liye chahiye. You can't remember, you know. Nainam dahati pavakah, na chai nam klede yantyapo na shoshiyati marutah. Wait, you forget all those verses. And you know, for these certain medical tests, like we went for a medical test, the doctor said your heartbeat should be less than 70 beats per minute, otherwise you don't get good images. You know, they do these echo and CTs and all those kind of things. So all the devotees who went for the tests were given medicines to drop their heartbeats to below 70. So I went, and before me there were two devotees. The first devotee went and he came out nonchalantly. Okay, sab kuch theek hai. The second devotee went and he kind of panicked because the nurse could not find his vein or something, and tried here, and then she said, "Aata maji confidence sampler." Dusra doctor la bolav to. Something like that, and then it was painful for him, and then when he came out, he kind of panicked, and then it was my turn, and went, and all preparations, 4 hours I waited for my turn to come, and finally when I enter inside, and tick, and he said, "Maharaj, kya aap, deep breathe, relax, why your heartbeat is racing?" I said, "I am," and then going on increasing, he said, "Okay, go out please, wait till your heartbeat comes down." So again I went, again waited for another 1 hour, again I went inside, again as soon as I entered, it's rising. And I thought, let me remember this verse, Nainam Chindanti Shastrani. Let me remember all these things, but it was, and I asked these devotees later on, the doctors, you know, that what is wrong? I tried my best, I took medicines also. I said, probably the devotee who went before you probably freaked you out. Because, you know, when someone comes and says, oh, and then you think, oh, you also get affected, you know. Because that's how it is, nature. Even though you are not afraid, but you see someone afraid, you become afraid. So Parikshit Maharaj was completely oblivious of everything that was being spoken, everything that was being told besides Krishna consciousness. He was in transcendence. There is no question of fear. And that's what brought him to that state of liberation. He was liberated even before he died. You don't have to die to be liberated. Mm-hmm. And that was the ultimate test. And the best way to be absorbed in Krishna consciousness is to chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Ram. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Kur Premanande.